We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Bart Winkler. It is the 22nd of August. I did tell my parents happy anniversary, and I bought them a card. Their anniversary was Monday. Bought them a card on Monday. Will it ever get to them? Lord only knows. I trust the USPS system, so it'll get to them if that's the case. But I got to write it and then send it and go to the post office. Packers gearing up for a game against the Seattle Seahawks this week. Excited to see them in person. Excited to know that Jordan Love's going to play at least for a little bit. Big news, Aaron Rodgers is going to play that night. So all eyes will be on Jets Giants. We've got college football this weekend. It's a very exciting time for sure. Our boys in Brew, TM Grant Bills, have the Twins. Wow, I just looked up who they played. We're doing a tailgate. Of course I know who they play. It's a Tuesday night and then Wednesday day game, and it is going to be hot. Remember a while ago I tweeted out, oh, my God, look at the 10-day forecast. It's going to be 116 degrees. And all these meteorologists around here said, come on, you cannot trust the Apple app. Come on. And I go, I don't know. It's been actually really helpful. I've never had a problem with it before. It gets me what I need to know. No, come on. You got to download our weather tracker. Okay. Oh, geez. And then they're all tweeting, look how hot it's going to be. 110. That's what Apple told me. They say, oh, no, that's the feels like. That's not the real temperature. I say, fam, I'm going to be in a parking lot in a heat desert, as we call them. It's going to be hot. And bless Matt in the Falls, who will be at that grill. You know, Matt in the Falls could do the funniest thing ever and not show up and completely fuck me. He's not that kind of guy. I got napkins. I bought some waters for the tailgate. I got another thing of ketchup. We got cheese. If you're wondering if you should bring, like, should I bring a cooler? Should I bring whatever for the tailgate, Brewers Twins Wednesday? Bring it. If we don't need it, we don't need it. It stays in your car. If we need it, we'll use it. So there'll be plenty of people there poking around their nasty little paws. I think I am going to buy a pack of name tags. You can choose to wear one if you'd like. Just going to be a lot of introductions. Some people are coming with somebody. Some are going solo. You all know me. So that'll be kind of weird. But you can meet each other. So excited for that, for the tailgate. It should be a fun time. I'm going to be hot, but we'll have beverages, and it's not like we've never been in the heat before. It'll be fine. I wanted to play some voicemails. Carl's plays voicemails. Carl of ET.com/Bart. Carl of ET.com/Bart. Check out the golf simulators that they have. Hey, if you want to go golfing on Wednesday, it's too hot. Golf in your house. Golf simulator. Tony in Texas. Boots on the ground. He was at the series, the Brewers series against the Rangers.
Hey, Bart, Tony from Texas here. Glad I could get three victories for the Brewers. Went to all three of them in Arlington. And, you know, we took care of business. It was nice. So the bats came alive. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it for the big tailgate that we got going on this week. But I'll be there in spirit. And I've got to say, you know, the guys that are coming up there, I wish I would meet Matt from the Falls. You know, Matt and I were kind of adversaries there in the beginning, but I'm saying this in a non-condescending way. I really am enjoying Matt's phone calls. I understand his humor now. And, yeah, dude's cracking me up. So, Matt from the Falls, keep bringing it. And, lastly, Packer football. The Packers are better than I thought. I originally thought 7-10. I'm going to flip that and say 10-7. They got a little something going there. As always, the defense is a concern of mine, but they got some young emerging receivers, tight ends, the running backs will be solid, the offensive line is above average. If Jordan Love is above average and the defense is average, slightly average, I see them winning 10 games and contending for the North. So that's all I got. As John from Franklin would say, I am out.
Good voicemail. We'll hear one from John in a second. Another shout out for Matt. Matt's becoming like the most important person to this pod. A role that used to be held by Tim Shea.
And hello.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
It's Tim Shea, ladies and gents. Yeah, I pulled a Chuck. I gave you the link, and then I started recording. And
oh, that's fine. That's fine. Just
thought I'd play some voicemails before we get started. Any thoughts on the Packers? You were commenting in our post game. I figured you were too probably bombed up to join.
Yeah, I couldn't join. Yeah, I didn't want to join. So.
Oh, you didn't want to?
I was letting other people.
Where'd you watch the game?
I just watched it at home.
Oh. Any
First half I watched it at home. Second half I went out.
Oh, nothing. Okay.
Yeah, nothing.
New segment on the show called Shakeaways. Oh. Tim Shea Takeaways. Nice mug. Any Tim Shakeaways from the Packers game? Give me your three biggest shakeaways.
Jordan Love looked okay. He looked good. I don't want to say great.
He looked great.
He looked good.
I started cocking off on CBS Saturday night.
We might have a kicker, maybe.
52-yarder.
Yeah, 52-yarder. That would have been good from 70.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It was halfway up the post.
One more shake away.
You know what? I wasn't at the game, but I will take something from Matt LaFleur's press conference because I used to work in the industry. Got to get faster on those replays, Green Bay scoreboard department.
Oh, the scoreboard's slow on the replay.
He said he needs the production crew to get those replays up a little faster.
Hmm.
So
they're talking about the Dubs play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are my three shakeaways.
That's good. I'm really glad that play got overturned because then instead of it like being like that would have been, it was. And then they scored on that drive.
Mm-hmm.
They had to go – what, 94, 96 yards?
Something like that.
Any Belichick defense. That's like there. If Jordan Love, the way he's playing, if Bryce Young or CJ Stroud or Anthony Richardson, if any of them were playing like that, you would be hearing so much hype about how the savior is here for Carolina and all that stuff. So we are watching a real good thing. Now, there is like there's like a 0.5% community that is trying to make Sean Clifford a thing.
I mean, will be a good backup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would I fear Jordan Love going down? Maybe.
Some are saying that Sean Clifford was born 15 years too soon. Cause he'd be a natural progression to,
well, he played all like 17 years at Penn State that he was eligible to. So.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be a good backup. I mean, I would like to see this other guy, too, get a chance.
Alex Magoo, USFL MVP.
Who didn't get his chance in the last game, obviously, because of what happened. But I think you might see a lot of him in the Seattle game, which kicks off at noon.
That's why I'm going.
Oh, are you going to the game?
Specifically because it's Saturday at noon.
Are you taking your son?
I am.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Right. I wanted a preseason game because then he can see the sights and sounds, but then daddy's not like checking his fantasy and not paying attention. I'm gonna be a dad instead of a loser.
Not ordering, you know, your fifth beer.
Well, that, I mean, it's preseason.
I know.
Gotta get through it somehow. Okay, more. So, hey, Tim, what?
I like it. I like the shakeaways.
The shakeaways. Yeah. More great content coming up. The Bart Winkler Show.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. the rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Bart Winkler Show. I don't know if the I did order a flag for the tailgate.
Oh, what kind?
With my show logo.
Nice.
Just because I want a picture of everybody with the flag. And then if anybody ever asks me my resume, I just send them the picture.
I think I'm arranging a special guest to come out for you.
Okay.
Can't tell you who, but.
And you're not coming to the tailgate?
I don't know yet.
You may have a medical emergency.
I may have a medical emergency. We'll see.
All right.
I'm a game day decision. As they say.
Okay. Happy Place Hemp, promo code BART, 25% off each and every order at happyplacehemp.com. I got Happy Place Hemper of the Month right here, Tim Shea. You got the CBD, CBN gummies. Those help me sleep. You got the Delta 8s, the Delta 9s. Again, what do you got there? The THC ones, THC free?
Yep. Always, yep, yep, yep.
The mango? Oh, you're almost out of that. You need a refresh.
I know.
You know, what's great about that, Tim, is I don't know if you've heard, every order you purchase through them is 25% off with the promo code BART, even if you've already used the code before.
Wait, so I can use it once and then I can use it again and then again after that?
Yes.
Holy smokes. Why didn't someone tell me this?
Yeah, and if you really want to be like a jackass because they ship it to you for free, you can do 5 different orders instead of one order of 5 things and make them send you 5 different discrete boxes.
I like going in there myself. I'm more of a...
They're also very pleasurable
people.
Pleasant men, Chris and Rob, College Court, and Muskego. Happyplacehemp.com. Let me play another voicemail, if you don't mind. This is from John and Franklin, who will be at the tailgate.
Very nice.
Bringing some coolers. And some ice.
I need ice. Hey.
Need ice.
It's going to be 100 degrees.
I just bought some waters today.
Forget the beer. We're all going to need water.
I bought waters.
Hey, everybody. John and Franklin checking in. Had to get up on these Brewers. Was a little disappointed with the results in Los Angeles. Was going to call, but didn't really want to be Mr. Negative, so I laid off, and the Brewers really turned it around. What a fantastic series against a really good team. Everything that went wrong in Los Angeles went right in this last series. Top to bottom, with the relievers we have and the starting pitching, I mean, we could compete with anybody. Obviously, the hitting is the problem when we get up against these, you know, top-tier offenses. We have trouble, but we figured out how to get Scherzer out of the game. I've always thought to myself, if we're up against these aces, why don't we have some longer at-bats instead of letting these guys, you know, get full 6-7 innings, sometimes 8 on us with these, you know, have these Ryan Braun at-bats, you know, if you can. I know it's easier said than done, but the Brewers showed that they could do that with, I mean, they had Scherzer on the ropes in the third. My God, he was sweating bullets. So it can be done with some smart, you know, even if you're not hitting the ball or guys got some good stuff, you can foul off a bunch of pitches. Make them work, I always say. But it's exciting. I like the young talent. I really like Frelick. Interested to see. I believe we're going to, you know, get to the playoffs. We'll be interested to see if we can catch a series and just see what happens with this pitching. You got a puncher's chance. I look forward to seeing everybody at the Brewer outing. Out.
All right. Yep. John Franklin. Out. Do you like my name tag idea? Should I bring name tags?
Hello, my name is so-and-so.
I feel like this is a name tag situation.
Yeah, I guess.
At least in the part. I mean, it's going to be like I think of a guy like Austin, you know, who it might come a little later, I think, but he's been on these YouTubes and stuff. And people are going to be like, Austin, you are, if it just says Austin.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of like weirdness? Like, are you?
I do. That's why I think that name tags is a good idea.
Not weirdness, but you know, awkward moments.
Yeah, that's why I'm telling people to come fucked up.
Okay. Good to know. Never mind. I'm not coming.
Stay all hydrated. Right. Don't pass out on my accord.
Is there anything going on after? Is there like a post game?
I've been telling people your place.
Kelly's Bleachers is my place.
Well, I don't know. If people want to keep the party going, you took the day off already, I'm sure. How much of the Brewers series did you catch? It was shitty to go to LA and score a total of 3 runs.
I've caught a lot of this road trip, actually. I went to a game.
In Chicago?
Yep.
Did I know that?
I don't know. You might have.
So they swept the White Sox. What did we talk about? That we wanted them to go 5-4?
I said, yeah, 5. I said 6-3.
So they did that by sweeping two and getting swept.
Yeah. It's a very weird road trip. But, yeah, I did actually watch most of this road trip. I watched all 9 games. This is – like, we're getting to that point now where
– yeah.
I'm fully in. I am in. I am, you know, I, this is, these games are going to get intense. They're going to be fun. I watched the Dodgers series sucked, especially when they should have won maybe 2 of those games. The Texas series was great. We chased Scherzer right away. What, 3 innings, 4 innings? He was all over the place, 99 pitches. Hitting the ball. Santana's hitting the ball. Mark Canna's hitting the ball.
He's a big foodie.
Really?
Yeah. He like really he was just on MLB Central or whatever show that is that nobody watches. And he's talking about how Milwaukee's got a good food scene and Daniel Vogelbach was giving him a bunch of suggestions on where to eat.
Okay.
To play to that stereotype of Vogie.
Yeah, so I good road trip, 6-3. We wanted 5-4, and they went 6-3. So what? They gained a game on the Cubs. They're up 3 on the Cubs, up 4 on Cincinnati. So it's gonna be a fight towards the end here. So just keep winning games, keep winning series. Don't look behind you. You know the Cubs. You're gonna have to play the Cubs 6 more times. So you don't play the Reds, which is kind of disappointing, but I guess we handled the Reds pretty well this year.
Yeah, including last weekend of the year, we got the Cubbies.
Yeah, so we and then we might get them again for the first 3 playoff games. There's actually, I mean, if they keep winning and we keep winning, there's a very good chance that we'll get the Cubs for 3 playoff games in Milwaukee.
Oh man, I don't want that. I never ever
if
want
we
that.
Win the division.
I never that's, ever that's, ever that's, ever. Ever, very well ever could happen. I never, ever, ever, ever want that.
Or you could get Miami. Miami's still in there. Arizona's still alive for that last wild card spot. So,
never, ever, ever do I want the Cubs here for a playoff series.
Well, you might get it. So,
because then we'll do that dumb Wisconsin presale thing again.
No, they won't do that.
No.
Well, they. You know what? They were doing that before, like. You know, they open it every day, like season ticket holders, and then 20 game packs, and then 40 game packs, and then.
Can I legally run a 50-50 on the Brewers parking lot?
Well, the Brewers have their own 50-50.
I know. I was going to run one to cover some of the costs of the meat.
I mean, you could.
I don't know. That seems like a lot of work.
How many people are going? Just let's do the math right now. If everyone gets $2,
I feel like there could be 60 to 70 people. I don't think I have enough squares.
If everyone, you know, gives $2, then if there's 70, there's 140. Split it in half.
Every time I go to the grocery store, I'm picking something up. But I'm throwing the tailgate.
Do you want to lay a tip jar out? Too tacky?
I don't know. Should I just like plaster my Venmo all over the place? At Winkler Bar, by the way. How was the White Sox stadium?
Good. Much better than the Cubs, obviously. Their fans are nicer.
I've not been to that one.
Obviously, there was a big rivalry between the White Sox and the Brewers back in the day. I've been told fights would break out in the bleachers, but no fights. Fans were nice. I will say this. These were these two guys, and there were a couple, but there are actually more, but there are White Sox and Cub fans. Like, one, as one. Like, they're a White Sox fan and a Cubs fan. Which is kind of annoying.
I don't know. I feel like if I was in a town where there were two teams.
Like, if you lived in New York, would you be a Yankees and a Mets fan and a Giants and a Jets fan?
Why wouldn't you?
My uncle lives in, some of my family lives in Chicago. And my uncle has come out and said that he cheers for whoever has a playoff spot and going farther.
I mean, I can't imagine having such town pride and then not liking a team from your town. And I get that that's different parts of, like, say, Bronx and Queens, but I don't know.
I'm surprised Chicago doesn't have more of that, like New York and L.A. Like, they don't have two football teams or two basketball teams or, you know.
Yeah, they sometimes get, like, references someone that could have one, but they don't even have a stadium for their one football team.
True.
They don't even know where they're going to play. I always – so I would – if I was in New York, I would have been for sure a Mets fan.
Yep.
I wish for sure would have been. I know that. And then I would have probably
– I'd be a Giants fan.
I feel like Mets and Giants, but I might have
– It's usually Mets and Jets and Giants and Yankees.
Yeah.
That's how it would go. And then – I think the Rangers go
with... Unless my dad. It would have been whatever my dad was.
I think the Rangers go with the Giants and Yankees, and the Islanders go with the Mets and Jets.
If I was in Chicago, I'd be a Cubs fan. I was a Cubs fan.
Well, WGN. I think I watched more Braves games than Cubs games when the Braves were on the Superstation.
Oh, Ryan Sandberg, Andre Dawson. Those were my guys.
Fred McGriff. Greg Maddux.
Yep. Mark Grace. Those are my dudes. So the White Sox stadium was good?
Yeah, White Sox stadium was good. I always liked when...
When what, Tim? Your video went away.
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, your Dan Shaney YouTube stream went away.
My bad. I always liked it when the Brewers would play the Cubs or the White Sox because... A lot of games weren't on TV back when I was growing up. Brewers games.
When we were growing up, they were on once a week on Channel 12, I think, but only the road games.
Something like that. So, like, all of a sudden, and they would black out the games on WGN, but then they would, like, come back in, like, the seventh inning. So you could catch it. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, that kind of does ring a bell. Yeah. Yeah, I watched a lot of baseball as a kid. I watched a lot of baseball. Like, I watched a lot of Cubs, so I watched a lot of summer. And then I'm thinking, like, why wasn't I, like, with my friend? What was I? Did I not have friends?
Thank God for my dad and his company to have Brewer season tickets, so we went to a lot of Brewer games. Instead of, like, because there are people who are like, well, yeah, but I'm a Cubs fan because we didn't get Brewer games. So.
I went to one with a Japanese wrestling exchange pro. Oh, Jesus, my video. A Japanese wrestling exchange program.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We had like a whole section.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. They were like crazy into it. We played
ball. But yeah, White Sox Stadium, good. Comparable prices with food and drink. You know, you didn't have to worry about getting into fights, arguments with fans.
Yeah. So. Well, they suck too.
Yeah. For them, being that bad, very good turnout. Very good turnout.
Was there a lot of Brewer fans?
Yeah, not as many as I thought there would be. I don't think Brewer fans like going to Chicago. Because when they go to Wrigley, now game 163, there's an asterisk because I think didn't tickets go on sale like that night so anyone could buy them?
Yeah, there are a lot of Brewer fans there.
Where as a regular season game, there aren't like, it's not like overload of Brewer fans. You know? I would love one day for there to be over 50% of Brewer fans at Wrigley.
At Wrigley?
Yeah, I don't see that ever happening.
That would never happen.
I just don't think there's plenty of tickets to buy for Brewer fans. I just don't think that will happen. So.
Well, one of the things that we get wrong is like, we think that we get invaded by Chicago. We get invaded by Racine.
We get invaded by Kenosha. People at Marquette.
Yeah, we get invaded by Marquette.
We get invaded by people here. I know plenty of people that live in Milwaukee that just are Cubs fans. So.
Yeah. Why are we talking about these losers so much?
Because I went to the White Sox game.
Oh.
And that we could play them in the playoffs come Wild Card weekend.
So the Rangers series, 9-8 win, 6-1 win, 6-2 win. The game Friday was fun until they were going to blow the lead, but they didn't. A lot of Dan Cheney insurance runs. That's good. Big weekend for Carlos Santana. What am I talking over? What are you doing?
I'm just nothing.
Oh.
Is something playing?
No, it sounded like a cat was scratching itself. Might be your headphone.
It might be.
Yeah. Carlos Santana, big weekend, even though your boy Rowdy Tellez is back.
Santana is the first baseman. Rowdy will just fill in here and there.
Yeah, that seems to be.
Santana had a huge weekend.
What they're doing. It just happened again. What did you just do?
I'm moving my thing here. I'll just do this to make you happy.
Well, it's not me. It's everyone listening.
There.
Yeah. Talk.
What?
All right.
Can you hear me?
You might actually have to put him back in.
Can you hear me?
Well, yeah, but I hear me echoing. Why don't you just buy a professional microphone like I did?
Because I'm not. This is. There. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
That's actually perfect.
Beautiful.
Why don't you? You're going to edit this out in post, right?
What?
We always make that joke. You don't even know what it means.
Oh.
Tim, I have a question for you.
Go.
I just did 5 days in a row at CBS. I did a swing where it was like Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, where it felt like I was there. Like it felt like I had no break. And then I was going to work Tuesday night, but Gail doesn't need the day off anymore. I'm not working this weekend because I'll be in Green Bay. So I don't, and I have no soccer games coming up. So I don't have a scheduled shift for 13 days. So am I on a vacation?
You are on vacation.
Or am I unemployed?
Kind of both.
What am I?
You are on vacation.
Because you know, I don't have a real, like, this is still my job.
Yeah, obviously you'll be doing CBS stuff, but you're on vacation.
Although it is less during football.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll move you to, like, Saturdays or something.
Fam, I don't want to work Saturdays.
You sound like me.
I got college to watch. This is going to be like, we're going to tell our grandkids about this college year because it's going to be like the last year before it got weird.
So even though you're doing a tailgate, you know, coming up, you always got to think ahead to your next tailgate. Would you do one for a football game, a Badger game or a Packer game?
No, not this year.
Maybe the people can change your mind.
The tailgate, I should mention, 1840 Brewing Company in Bayview. They are bringing tents. They are bringing tables, I believe. Marty's set up these things a bunch in the past. They've got like, I should go get a bottle and show you, but a nice size bottle of all these different beers that they brew. So they'll be bringing enough for everybody to try one. And Marty's someone who a while ago, he reached out and was like, I want to host a Bart Winkler Hurry Up. Remember? We never did.
Yeah, the Hurry Up.
But he was like, I want to do one. And then I never like have done it. And I thought this tailgate thing, which was really supposed to be a game between you and me, it's turned into whatever it's turned into.
Well, maybe we can start the Hurry Ups in a couple of weeks. You know, like maybe we can do one on the 7th. Do go live during the first game or before the first game.
No, first game, I gotta be home.
Chiefs and Lions.
I gotta be home for that.
Okay, well, maybe we can do one like the Saturday before Packers Bears. Like at the Brat Stop.
I think we can let's plan on
or McGuire's.
Yeah, let's plan on an 1840 Brewing Hurry Up in Bayview. And let's plan on a McGuire's Hurry Up.
Okay.
So let's plan on two Bart Winkler Hurry Ups.
And we'll see what kind of crowd we got.
Yeah. I don't want to do them every week.
No.
Because I like to listen to the actual huddle. I like to listen to it. And so we'll do the Hurry Ups. We'll do the Hurry Ups on two different days. Yeah, I'm unemployed. Should I start looking for jobs again?
That's up to you.
How about this? Should I buy a blue check mark?
No.
But if I can get paid. It says I met the qualifications. I just got to get the blue check mark.
Bart, let me ask
you. I don't really believe people are getting paid.
Let me ask you this. Because I don't think you have. I don't think you did answer this when I asked you back mid-season and at the beginning of the year. Are the Brewers going to make the playoffs, the postseason?
Well, I'd be foolish to say no now.
I think you said no. I think you were leaning towards no all year when I've asked you.
I probably was.
Are the, you know, like, now that we're getting down to what, the last like 35 games soon, are the Brewers going to make the postseason?
Well, yeah, I think I have a very specific take on this, is that this is as bites of the apple as it gets. Like the Brewers beating the Rangers was kind of, that might change perceptions a little bit because the Rangers are very good. And even though we like, oh, we beat the Rangers, like we still think the Rangers is, they're very good.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got, you know how I always say on the radio, I'm always like on CBS, I'm like, call about anything, I'll talk. One guy goes, the Astros going to miss the playoffs, huh? I go, probably not. He goes, that's the word on the street. I'm like, well, they look, they're in the race. I don't know. They're the Astros. They've been in the ALCS every year since 17. Then one guy, I think, thought, sometimes what happens is they think I'm a local guy when they call in. And so some guy from Toronto was like, man, we got to move Vladdy down in the order.
And you're like, yeah.
I'm like, I still believe in Vladdy. I say, lead him off.
How far do the Brewers go?
Well, it's I would put Braves and Dodgers as the NLCS. But if we can get, like, okay, so we're competitive with the Dodgers, but they always beat us. We have to do what we did with the Texas. We have to. The pitching has to show up, and they have to hit.
Here's the thing.
If they're not going to pitch their way, as good as the pitching is, they're not going to pitch their way to a World Series. They are going to have to hit.
You have trust in the back end of this rotation, because if we do have to play three games in the wild card, there go your 1, 2, and 3 pitchers.
Yeah.
For games 1, 2, 1, and 2, because they're starting – the playoffs right away. So not only we may need, you know, who knows what happens towards the end of the season. We may need those, you know, two of them to close the season out, to solidify.
Well, Hauser's had a decent month. I mean, the ERA is 3.80, but
do you trust the back end of the rotation? And let's say we just clinched a postseason spot. Do you then care about the division? Or do you set your rotation up that 1, 2, and 3 can go, that Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta can go in the wild card game, and who cares about home field?
Oh, no, I'd want home field.
So then you would prefer those 1, 2, 3, you know, let's just say those last three games against the Cubs. It's just for position.
If that comes down to the division.
Would you rather go to Wrigley?
No.
Let's just say it's the Cubs and Brewers. Or would you want to play these games at home?
Well, I want to play them at home. What advantages are playing at Wrigley? What's the shake away on that one? I don't get it.
What's the advantages of playing at home when they're 70% Cub fans?
You sleep in your own bed?
Sure.
Yelich can look at the monitor and steal signs?
I just saw something come in, and you might need to. Michigan is self-imposing a 3-year game suspension for Coach Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, that's stupid.
So does that mean he's suspended for 3 years or?
3 games.
Oh, 3 games. Okay.
Yeah, they agreed on 4, and then the NCAA is like, actually, no. And then now Michigan's like, we're just going to give him 3, and you better like it.
Okay.
And then Harbaugh's probably just going to leave anyway.
Sorry. Anyway, back there. So you would rather play at home. I don't think it matters. Homer, if we're playing the Cubs, I don't think it matters.
Well, if it doesn't matter, then play at home.
Then you have to depend on the back end of your rotation. And do you trust them? Do you trust?
I mean, I trust Adrian Hauser as much as anyone can ever trust Adrian Hauser.
Do you trust Wade Miley? Do you think Wade
Miley? I have more confidence in Wade Miley than any other time that he has been a Brewer.
Do you think he's starting to slide a little bit?
No.
Okay.
I have more trust in Wade Miley than I ever have.
What if they bring Eric Lauer back? Would you trust him?
Then I would. I was gonna say jump off something, but you can't joke about that.
So, just something to ponder about come, you know, mid-September or whatnot.
Thanks for another Tim Shea classic question. Would you rather play at home or on the road?
I'm just saying, against the Cubs, yes, you would rather play at home. I want to go to playoff baseball game. But does it matter if you're setting up your rotation? If you want your aces to go.
I get what you're saying. I get that part of it.
If you want your aces to go, then who cares? Then set it up and go to Wrigley and win 2 games.
I think you just play as it comes. You just play as it comes.
Okay.
You just keep them on their normal rest. Don't.
Well, yeah. But I'm just saying, once if they clinch a spot in the postseason, and still have to battle for the division, and it's the Cubs, and they're up 2 games, and you're playing the Cubs here at the end of the year. How would you approach it?
Tim.
Yes.
Any quick Badger thoughts?
I think they're going to be okay. They got a trap game right off the, you know, week 2 at Washington State. Trap game / revenge game.
Revenge, yeah.
Which is crazy to say. Then they have a night game at Purdue on a Friday night. That's no fun to go into Purdue. So, I, you know, if they can get out of those 2 games, I could see them being undefeated going into the Ohio State game.
Which you will be there.
Which I will be there. That's my big trip. God, I said that.
There's one night that Forward Madison has a game during a Badger game.
Homecoming early?
When they play Washington State, I'll be in Madison.
Yeah, the Badgers will be on the road.
Yeah.
So you got that.
Yeah.
Don't have to deal with game day traffic, but I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's the final year of the 4-team playoff and final year of divisions in the Big Ten.
Final year of maybe even college football,
No,
as we know it.
next year.
I hope you come to the tailgate.
I do too. I hope so too. It'll be fun.
COVID's going around. Get COVID. Just tweet out a test and then CBS will. Whatever. Where do you work?
Take it easy, Bart.
All right. I'm going to hashtag tack it on.
I have to join still. We have until the first game, right? To join your winner's
pool. Oh, I have a survivor pool. SplashSports.com/Winkler.
How many people have joined?
30.
Do you know? Okay.
They'll get higher. SplashSports.com/Winkler. And now I'm going to tack on an interview I did with Eric Edholm of NFL.com. And that will be the end of the show. And I will talk to you later.
Go Brewers.
Eric Edholm joining us. You can catch his work, NFL.com, on whatever we're calling it, at Eric_Edholm. Eric, I'm kind of bummed about the preseason, because I understand what the preseason is. And I think that we all accepted it, but now the NFL's like, no, you're not getting the ones versus the ones all the time. We're going to do it though, just in training camp when nobody can see it. I think that it's great for these teams because controlled environment, all that. But as a fan, I'm kind of like bummed.
I hear you. Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, you know, I'm writing these weekly what to look forward to. You know, pieces, 32 items for 32 teams every week of the preseason. You know, I'm talking about 5 and 6 receiver battles and stuff, and not knowing who's going to play. So it does make it a tall order sometimes. So you're right about the joint practice thing. And I think obviously when they reduced from 4 to 3, I think that was in the back of a lot of coaches' minds. Hey, we can get in, if not more than a preseason game worth of work, you know, at least equal to in 1 or 2 practice sessions. So that's the kind of environment that, you know, maybe it's not marketable for TV, but maybe it is. Maybe it's something that we have one day. So you never know.
Yeah, I don't mind that they're doing it. Just put it on TV so I can watch. That's what I'm saying. That's all I want to see. I think, obviously, this is a quarterback-driven league. And if I've done my research correctly, every team that is starting a new quarterback, whether it's a guy they've had in their system like a Jordan Love or Sam Howell, whether it's a rookie like Stroud, Richardson, you know, Bryce Young, whether it's a veteran, Rodgers, Jimmy G, Baker, Derek Carr, all of these teams did have, Washington was .500. Otherwise, they all had losing records. So I think, like, for some of the veterans, there's a little more immediacy, which I'll get to. But for these rookies, they're all going to start. These top 3 picks are going to start. And I like that. If you're going to draft a guy, either sit him or start him. I like that. Which do you think has, like, the biggest leash? Not the best career, not the best, like, outlook, but which team is going to be the most patient with their guy between Richardson, Stroud, and Bryce Young?
Yeah, I think it would be hard. You know, it's interesting because Carolina, right, has Andy Dalton. I know he's banged up right now, but, you know, he's a pretty accomplished guy. I mean, this is somebody who's started quite a few games and probably one of the best sort of pinch hitter starters, I guess, that's on the market. And, you know, they paid him as much. So even though he's got the strongest backup, I think it would probably take an injury to get Bryce out of there or something really, you know, a tough stretch of turnovers. But we never really saw that out of him at Alabama. That just wasn't the player he was. So I think there's a measure of patience there. Houston, you know, it's a thing where you have Davis Mills, same deal. He's been starting the last 2 years and not been great, but he hasn't been exactly the reason why they've lost each and every one of those games. So, you know, I think both those guys, they want to do as much as they can to support them, not ask too much of them, run out of excuses not to pull them. You know, with Richardson, it's tricky. If you pull him now, though, does it kill his confidence? You know, early in the season, let's say he's in a 4-game slump or something. You got Gardner Minshew. He knows the offense. You know, he's given teams sparks before. Would that hurt him? Or is he the kind of kid who can go from there and still build off that and become a success?
Yeah, I think there's different quarterbacks that there's different quarterbacks that would thrive under a year or two, and there's different quarterbacks that need the work right away. The problem is, once you pick one, you don't know. Like, you don't know how the other way would have gone. I think that, so for like Aaron Rodgers, I think that those 3 years helped turn him into the quarterback that he became. And I think now the Packers are looking at Jordan Love again. I'm telling you, this Packers-Bears game in week one, I want nothing more than for both quarterbacks, Justin Fields and Jordan Love, to, you know, 30-27, that's what I want. Both quarterbacks throw 3 touchdowns, because I feel like the other fan base and the league itself, if Jordan Love's bad week one, Packers are doomed. If Justin Fields bad week one, his career's over. I think both of those guys still have a lot of potential and can be very good. I just don't want the early expectations on them to be too high. Although, I mean, it's a fourth year for Love. It is. And it's the third year for Fields.
Right. Third year for Fields. He's got more on-field experience. I mean, you know, Love's rookie year. I don't know how much he got out of that as the number three QB. So, I mean, still, it is a fascinating game. It is a fascinating rivalry that's taking on a new chapter of sorts. And, you know, the reports on Fields have been some good, some bad in camp. Not bad, but some underwhelming. I think there's still that feeling of, you know, he hasn't quite gotten there yet. But, again, I can remember Eli Manning going to see him in camp 1 year and thinking, oh, my gosh, is he going to even keep a starting job? And, well, you know, they end up in the Super Bowl. So it can look really kind of clunky at times and all of a sudden come together. And he's a playmaker. He's a creator. The reports on Love have been very good. I think he's got something. I don't think he's going to be great every single week, but I think you're going to see some weeks where you think – he's one of the more natural, beautiful throwers in this league once he kind of gets his feet underneath him.
Talking with Eric Edholm, you can find his work at NFL.com. The NFL kind of surprised people with their week one opening matchup where it's the Chiefs versus the Lions. And I think people are going to be, you know, people are excited about the Lions. The Lions are the favorites in the division for the first time in 3 decades. And they think they're going to be good. And, you know, watch out for Detroit. Who do they play week one? Oh, the Chiefs and Arrowhead. Oh, they're going to get killed. I think that, you know, of all these like week one games where we look at like, well, what if and what could the overreaction be? If Detroit, I think there's going to be a lot of people that want to pick Detroit week one, but I don't, how can you take Detroit week one against the Chiefs? But if they do, then I think that reevaluates, like, because there's a pecking order in the NFC. It's Eagles, and then it's probably the Niners, and then what comes out of your tongue first? Cowboys or Seahawks, and then like the Lions. But if the Lions win that game, I would think look out for their potential.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I don't know, but I suspect that when Dan Campbell saw that, he said, all right, let's go. You know, you don't get these opportunities very often. I mean, you're an up-and-coming team. They finished short of the playoffs last year, and they're given kind of the leadoff spot, the marquee game in the opening week against the defending champs. Arrowhead is going to be a madhouse. But you know Dan Campbell's thinking, we're going to throw the kitchen sink at him. You know, we're going to have every, you know, fake punt, onside kick, every whatever we've got, trick play. Andy Reid's known for it. Great. We're going to show him something too. And so, plus, if you're going to bet on the Lions, you might as well do it week one while, I mean, they could flame out this year. Who knows, right? They could end up being the same old Lions or whatever people say about them. And I mean, at least you've got kind of legitimate off-season hype that kind of fueled it a little bit. You could still get bang for your buck out of, you know, Chargers and Broncos games and whatnot and all the rivalry. They play the Patriots this year. That'll come. You can get that at week 13 and still make your money. But this is a fascinating gamble, and I think the Lions will be ready for that game. I don't know who'll win, but I think they'll be ready.
You mentioned the Broncos, and I'm glad you did, because this was a, you know, obviously Russell Wilson was not good last year by anyone's standards. And Sean Payton came in there, and his comments, you know, I think that Sean Payton's comments about how bad the coaching staff did last year, it's very, like, reflective of somebody buying a house sight unseen, and then they do the inspection, and they're like, oh, wait, I didn't realize the electric was this bad. I didn't realize the plumbing was this bad. And then you're not blaming yourself for taking the job. You're taking blame at the old owner for what he did to the house. It does feel like it's like a safety net. Hey, if this doesn't go well for me, don't blame me. I just inherited a dump. I think the Broncos, like, I don't know. Sean Payton, you know, he's fine, whatever. But a lot of this depends on Russell Wilson, and I just don't know that he can regain that form. He looked very, I'll just say, bad last year.
Yeah, he did, right? And I watched the opening preseason game, and Sean Payton took him, had the first-team offense out there for four series. You know, they didn't score the first three, and Sean was determined to punch that ball in the end zone. I think it is, you know, he's taking a hard line, which is the complete opposite of what happened in Denver last year. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett did not play Russell Wilson a single snap in the preseason. Look, I don't know if that was the reason why he got off to a slow start, but I imagine it couldn't have helped, right? I mean, I don't think it was the kind of thing that made things better. So that's at least one little tiny sliver of what Peyton was talking about. Maybe he was trying to protect Russell a little bit, or at least give his players a little leeway for everything that happened last year. Some good players on that team did not play well other than Russell. So that's part of it. And I think Sean also just doesn't mind being in the spotlight and saying stuff that,
yeah,
you know, that puts him as the target. He doesn't mind being the bad guy, which I kind of admire in a way.
Yeah, why not? If you can take a little bit of the heat, go ahead and do that. I got to ask you about the Jets. You know, obviously we see them on Hard Knocks, which is more of a, you know, PSA for the team hype video than it is the show that we've been accustomed to. Look, that first six is very tough for them, and I think we're going to know in the first 6 weeks if this is going to work or not. And I've seen Aaron Rodgers for 18 years. And yeah, I've seen an MVP, and the quarterback I saw last year was very pedestrian, especially after the injury. I don't know how much that still lingers with him, but is it more likely to you that the Jets find MVP Rodgers or that they find 2022 Rodgers?
Well, it's a fair question, and I think they can't fully answer it right now. I don't think we know. I think it's impossible to give a definitive, you know, rubber stamp, move it along kind of answer without knowing what kind of offensive line they're going to line up in the first part of the season. The assumption is Duane Brown is coming back at some point and is going to be ready for week one. That feels like a lot of finger crossing for a guy who was basically retired before they called him last year. So, you know, and to think that he stepped in and was pretty much their best lineman, you know, on the exterior last year, that worries me a little bit. Mekhi Becton, they're hoping he can make it through a game because he's got the talent to be their right tackle. You know, they're hoping that these minor injuries to guys like Ali Vera Tucker and, you know, Lakin Tomlinson up front. I mean, they're hoping it's nothing big and that they'll be back into action soon and they'll have their starting five together. But, you know, all the early fireworks in camp hitting Garrett Wilson and, you know, looking like some old Rodgers in some of these practice highlight videos, It's tapered off because of the protection. And that's the big worry for me. Not Dalvin Cook, not any other part of that team. It's the offensive line right now, and can Rodgers work with that?
Lastly, is there a team, I'll put you on the spot, and I'll tell you, mine's the Steelers, a team that maybe is not getting a lot of attention, but a team that maybe we should be looking out for. I really like Kenny Pickett in year two. If Mike Tomlin wasn't a below 500 team with that team last year, you got to think the world of him. Is there somebody else, or is that maybe your team too?
Well, it's funny you say that because I had kind of been on the Browns train all offseason for that pick, you know, like the team, tough division, right? I mean, you just mentioned the Steelers. Obviously, the Ravens got Lamar done, and we know what a healthy Burrow and the Bengals can do. So, you know, I mean, it's hard to go from last place to playoffs in that division, but I think that both these teams are really interesting for all the reasons you mentioned. They both, the Steelers and Browns, seem to really target need areas in the offseason. Defensive line for both teams. Offensive line for the Steelers, although Dan Moore's still starting apparently. The big blocking tight end in Darnell Washington, and they got Porter to help in the secondary. So, you know, losing Sutton hurts, but I think the Steelers could be really good, and Pickett's been getting good reviews in camp. I'm backing off a little on the Browns just because I really do wonder if Watson can thrive in an offense that may at times restrict his creativity as a playmaker. That's the one thing that's kind of holding me back, plus all their injuries.
Yeah, there's been some negative press about Watson, too, outside of that stuff, but just in terms of how he's been playing, so we'll see. Hey, always enjoy catching up with you, Eric Edholm. Keep up the great work. Read you daily, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, man. Good talking to you.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.